And welcome to episode 57 of Geekers Creepers. This is the podcast where we talk about the geeky side of life and we talk about the creepy side of life. I am your host, Rob. And well, right now, as far as the geeky side, I will not be joined by anyone. But in the creepy side, we will be joined by Eddie Spaghetti. So thank you, everyone, for joining us. Today, we will be talking about the Xbox Live Showcase. We'll be talking about one other video on the Xbox Live Showcase, which I'd like to specifically speak about because it was a little bit related to Dead by Daylight. Not a little bit, a lot, actually. Well, let me take that back. It was a little bit related to Dead by Daylight. And as far as the geeky side, we will also be talking about Diablo Immortal, which is actually making a lot of money, but maybe not in a good way. Hopefully in the next few weeks, I will be joined by another gamer who's going to be talking video games. And so I'll have someone else to talk about that. So today there will be no topic, but what we will have is our creeper side where Eddie will be joining us. And we'll be talking about in Bensonville, how there've been some strange sightings, a boy who disappears in a video, this mysterious dog man, and finally the Sandown clown, which by the time you hear this, you should be able to see that on YouTube. I'm going back to YouTube. I was finally able to upload videos. So hopefully you'll enjoy it. And give it a watch. Give it a like. I would greatly appreciate it. But for now, let's talk about what I guess I've been playing. And as far as games that I've been playing, I'll be honest, recently, not a lot. I have actually, my game time has really been diminished. I've been working on trying to learn how to upload videos, trying to learn how to edit videos, making thumbnails. It's just been work on that part. I have been playing, of course, Dead by Daylight. They did have their event, which is still ongoing right now, the 6-year anniversary event. And it's going to be ending, I believe, tomorrow. So I have to take advantage of that, which that's what I've been doing pretty much. I uploaded, I think, one video from one of my gameplays. But yeah, that's been pretty much it. So not much on that end. So with that said, the geeky side is not going to be, it's going to be a lot shorter than usual. But hopefully I'll make up for it with the creepy topics this week. So with that said, let's talk about the news of the week. And the first news of the week, which is actually a few weeks ago, as of yesterday, they did have the Nintendo Showcase premiere, but I was watching a little bit of it. I have a Switch and I play games on it, but that's something that I really wanted to go over. I didn't think there was anything that that great about it. But a few weeks back, I did watch the Xbox and Bethesda's game showcase. A lot of nice things on that one. We got to see a little bit of this new game called Redfall, which for those that don't know about it, it is, there's a few people I played Dead by Daylight with, which would absolutely, I think they're going to be big fans of this, but it looks like it's going to be an Xbox only. But it is, instead of a zombie shooter, which is crazy nowadays, everything's zombie, it's vampires. Now, when I watched the gameplay, it seemed like a shooter, not anything that really, I'm a big fan of, but still doesn't matter. They showed it and there's a lot of people talking how much they like this and hey, more power to you. For me, not my thing, but it looks like it does have potential. I don't have, Xbox. Jose will probably be bragging about it because I believe it comes out, day one to Xbox, to their Game Pass, but yeah, he'll give me the he'll brag about it once he gets that, which he does plenty of times. The new Ninja Turtles came out. What did Jose do? He sent me a text. Hey, I'm playing Ninja Turtles. Well, good for you, Jose. All right, so we also have a video of a game called High on Life, which is done by the Rick and Morty creators. It looks kind of fun. It really does. And it reminds you a little bit of Oddworld, where you have these guns that talk to you. It's a goofy game. It just seems really weird and just a fun game. It's a first-person shooter with Rick and Morty humor. And it's, if you're into that, that's, you know, this is up your alley. And also, like I said, the guns seem to talk to you, which is very weird, but actually kind of cool. Then we had Riot Games that did a little spiel on, you know, what they're going to be bringing. I don't play many Riot games, which is they have League of Legends. Not my thing, since it wasn't until recently that I finally got a gaming PC. But honestly, really, the gaming PC is just to edit videos so I could do Geekers Creepers and put stuff online. They also brought up A Plague's Tale Requiem, which I want to play the original one. I should get that on PlayStation soon. I'll be buying it, but that looks really good. It's I don't know the story, but as far as the graphics and the playstyle, it looks like a great game. Really looking forward to it. Forza Motorsport. Jose, of course, sent me a message since Jose's the car guy, and this is what he's looking forward to. This is a game that I wish, the next game was one that I wish I could be able to play. Now, I'm actually thinking of buying Game Pass specifically to play on PC, because you can play on PC with Game Pass. They have Microsoft Flight Simulator. And I know a lot of people are saying, what? You just fly a plane? That's true. You just do. But it seems so realistic, so cool. And on top of it, they're going to be bringing the Halo's Pelican, which is kind of crazy, but I would love to fly over my neighborhood with the Halo Pelican. Come on. Wouldn't that be awesome? Or you're just flying across wherever you live at in the middle of Nebraska. By the way, if in case you don't know, Microsoft Flight Simulator has some of the most realistic graphics of any flight simulator game. What they've done, they were able to map out pretty much the entire world. And now when you get close enough, you can't see every house one for one, but they've got like the big buildings. They've got the big, every airport is modeled to a T. They've got an overall, you know, kind of what your neighborhood looks like. A lot of bigger landmarks are put on there. So it's an unbelievable achievement in gaming. I mean, just to imagine that, yes, you can't see you cannot see your house, but you're like, yep, that's where I would be if I could see my house. And yes, I'm getting so close to where I live at, where I've visited, where I've been to. It's a miracle. In my opinion, I believe it's as close as you get as to a miracle in gaming, because this is one of those things that I would love to play a game where I could walk in my neighborhood. I could, a GTA in my neighborhood, like a driving game, a Forza in my neighborhood. That would be great. And this is not exactly that, but it's coming closer and closer to it. It has its ups and downs. You know, the idea that, well, are we invading other people's personal space, invasion of privacy? You know, I mean, there are a lot of issues. And when this came out, one of the scary things was the idea that people, for nefarious reasons, could take advantage of, well, this is what this airport looks like. I can take advantage of that. I guess in my opinion, the bad that potentially could come out of it should not take away from the good of what these creations or these, and I don't even want to say games, because it's not even a game. It's a simulator. What good it is. I mean the good in the actual product itself. Either way, I think I've wanted to play this for the longest time. I'm not even a big flying game person, but I just think what they've done is amazing, and I want to get a shot to play it. With that said, Jose and I might be talking Game Pass together sometime soon. Not on the podcast, but like I said, he does send me a few texts here and there. Then we also had, I'm going to skip a lot of this because a lot of these were games that I just really haven't played or know about. Another one was Forza Horizon 5 is now Hot Wheels Edition, which for a lot of gamers out there, they might know that there was a Hot Wheels game that came out not too long ago. It came out last year. And now we have a Forza Horizon 5. It actually looks really, really good. And yeah, definitely looking forward to play that. And we did have another release for Arc 2 with, Vin Diesel. Vin Diesel is a character in Arc 2. You gotta love Vin Diesel. I mean, as far as gaming, the guy, he helped promote his Fast and Furious game, which turns out it wasn't that good, but he still helped promote it. He's in Arc 2. And most importantly, he actually was very active when the game Chronicles of Riddick came out. This came out back in 2005, maybe, and it was for the Xbox. Maybe it came out for the PlayStation 2, but I know I played it on Xbox. And it is a game that takes place in the Chronicles of Riddick's universe. It is a fantastic game. It's a lot of fun. And I believe he did have a lot of say into the game. So, you know, Vin Diesel, do it to it. You know, the more games you make, you know, you have some hits, you have some misses. I will say that Riddick was a hit. Arc 2 hopefully will be too. Now, we have a game called Scorn that was also talked about. This game, I will have to say, it looks cool. It's very much inspired by H.R. Giger. And people that know that name, H.R. Giger is a person that helped illustrate and create, not create, but his illustrations and art was the inspiration, or not inspiration, but was used by the creators of Alien, Aliens, all that. And so this game is very much inspired by that art style. It is gory and sick. I would say check it out. I don't know if it's maybe when I was younger, this would have been a game that I would have been looking forward to, but it just seems a little too gory for me. But hey, it might be a great game. And for me, this is the one that surprised me a lot. Flintlock, the Siege of Dawn. So this is a third-person RPG where you wield both guns and melee weapons. That sounds boring, I understand. But when you watch the gameplay, when you watch it in action, this game just seems to have a lot of potential, one that I wasn't expecting. It reminded me a little bit of God of War mixed with it was God of War with a fantasy. I guess God of War is fantasy when you think about it, but it just seemed it was God of War where I guess you play a female character. And I believe this game has a lot of potential. I'm actually really, really looking forward to this game. And we had Minecraft that came back up, Minecraft Legends. So any Minecraft people, there you go. Trying to see what else came up. And really, there was Diablo 4 that came out. They're going to be releasing it. It looks really good. I'm a big Diablo 3 fan, so this is probably one that I will be playing. Usually, I don't play it day one. I wait a little bit. And with this one, I probably will. But Diablo 4 is probably a game that, not probably, I know I'm going to be playing Diablo 4. I played Diablo 3, beat it, and every now and then I go back to it. Diablo 3 is comfort food for me. It's a game that you can just jump in. Even if you forget, like a lot of games, you'll forget what the controllers are like. With Diablo, you play it a little bit, you're like, all right, this is it. And you just pick up on it. And like I said, it's comfort food. It's boring. It's a game that you can put a podcast on, listen to it, listen to music, just chill out, leave. Don't have to worry about coming back. Sometimes you do, but just like, all right, well, I'll pick it back up. Diablo 4 is a game that I'm definitely looking forward to playing again. There was a release, a reveal trailer for a game called Cocoon. Now, I'll read this from, and again, I'm going over, actually, IGN did a really good rundown of the games, so I'll include a link to this. Cocoon is a new sci-fi puzzle game from Geometric Interactive and lead gameplay designer, Jeppy Carlson. And Carlson worked on Inside and Limbo. And this game is set in a bright sci-fi world on an alien planet. And it's set for a 2023 release. All right. Inside and Limbo. If you have not played those games, please pick them up. Those might be, I hate to say this, two of some of the more important games of the last, I don't know, what is it, 10 years or so. Those two games, Limbo and Inside, you can beat in a matter of, I believe I beat Limbo in 7 hours and Inside probably less, maybe it was 5 or 6 hours. I beat it in one playthrough. But I can tell you that both of those games stuck with me. They are some of the most important games, in my opinion, you can play. And they're not complicated. It's pretty much jump, push, and you jump, you push a puzzle, you push a block. The art, though, is beautiful. The story is interpretive, which is why that game is so good. Like, after you beat Limbo, you're like, okay, what happened? You think about it. What was it? After you beat Inside, it's even worse. Like, you try to figure out what everything I was playing made sense, but what does it mean in with everything I did? What does it mean? And definitely a fantastic game. If you get a chance, not even if you get a chance, look, you can buy them now on sale. I'm not kidding. $5 for both of them. If you can, don't pay more than $5 for both of them. They're on sale all the time. Just wait a bit, pick it up, and you guys can write in to geekerscreeperscast@gmail.com. Again, geekerscreeperscast@gmail.com or on Twitter @geekerscreepers. Tell me what you guys think. These are some, in my opinion, some of the most important games in gaming in general. And they're fast. You can get them done right away. But do me a favor, if you buy them, wait for the sale. Don't buy them for like $20, $15. They go on sale once every couple of months. You buy them for $2, $3 a piece. And Persona was released on Persona 3 Portable, Persona 4 Golden, and Persona 5 Royal were all released on Game Pass. But right now, only Persona 5 has a release date. That's a big deal. These Persona games were mainly PlayStation, even Persona 3 Portable. I mean, think about it. It's a PSP game. These were mainly PlayStation games, and now they are finally released on Xbox. And as of today, I believe they are going to be released on Switch also. I've tried with the Persona games. Can't get into them. I've tried twice with Persona 4. People say I got to try Persona 5. I'll give it a shot. But yeah, this is really cool. And there was a little blurb with Hideo Kojima is partnering with Xbox. Totally awesome. I'm wondering what he's going to do. Hoping it's a horror game. We'll see. Maybe it'll be the, what was it? He did, I don't know, call it PlayStation. It's called, oh my God, I've suddenly drawn a blank. When he did the game that you can't play on PlayStation anymore. As soon as I'm done with this podcast, I'm going to suddenly remember what it is. Either way, that's awesome. Now, this game, when is it going to come out? I don't know. In the next 3 years, probably. But there's potential there, which is awesome. And finally, they did some gameplay on Starfield. I'm looking forward to playing this game. If it's going to be released on Xbox only, I've got to figure out what's going to happen. Again, I might just do PlayStation or, I'm sorry, Games Pass. So as far as Skyrim, I own Skyrim on PlayStation 3. I own Skyrim on Switch. And I own Skyrim on VR. So as far as Bethesda and, you know, Skyrim and Starfield, I'm a huge fan. I'm hoping this game will do well. I'm hoping this game is good at the end of the day. It looks like it has potential. You get to travel to all these different planets, build your own ship, build your own buildings on planets. It reminds me a lot of No Man's Sky. That's a big issue. And I feel like it's big for the sake of being big. I believe Todd Howard said there are over 1,000 planets you can land on. So probably 997 of those planets, or I'm sorry, 993 of those planets will be barren, because I'm guessing, like, if it's like Skyrim, you have your big cities and everything else. You kind of have a settlement here, settlement there. I've got a feeling that's what it's going to turn out to be. Hopefully not. Hopefully they'll be able to work something where if you land on a planet, there's still something there to find. There's still a story on each planet. But with 1,000, I don't know. It just seems like it's going to be really tough to do. But we'll see. We'll see with that. I do have a lot of hope for this game because, as I said, Skyrim is a game that it's probably the, I think it is the only game that I'll own for multiple, on multiple different systems. And it's because I really, really like the game. I got it really into it. And like I said, I'm a big fan. So we'll see what happens with Starfield. I'm definitely looking forward to it. I believe it is coming out 2023 on Xbox consoles and PC. So no PlayStation. We'll see what happens there. So that was a quick rundown of the games that were released on the Xbox and Bethesda Showcase. There's one other game that I do want to talk about, but I got to take a quick break and I'll be right back. And welcome back. So the next game that I'd like to talk about is one that I had to take a break real quick and watch the preview for it again. There's a video, and for anybody that knows me, knows I love Dead by Daylight. One of the characters in Dead by Daylight is known as the Cannibal, also known as Leatherface from Texas Chainsaw Massacre. And there is a game coming out, The Texas Chainsaw Massacre. So I was watching the I was watching the trailer, and man, I gotta say, it is creepy. It reminds me a lot of the original movie, and anyone that's seen the original movie, it is scary. Weird, it's weird. I think like maybe two-thirds into it, it gets a little weird where it's more of, all right, is this kind of supposed to be funny? You know, but kind of uncomfortable, funny, but it is a very scary movie. There's a reason why this movie became so popular. And watching the game, so with Dead by Daylight, you can play as Leatherface, and he's another character in Dead by Daylight. In this one, it seems like they use, and also Dead by Daylight does have a stage which is very reminiscent to the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. But in this one, it's a little different. It seems like you're actually, now again, I don't know what the gameplay is going to be like. They just did the trailer, but it looks so much more in line with the movie, how creepy it was, how it's more than just do a generator hide, which is Dead by Daylight. This seems more just you have to escape this home. You have to escape where you're stuck at. I want to get more information about this game because this has potential to be a game that I'm going to be playing nonstop. They did one for Friday 13th. The problem was that one, I chose Dead by Daylight over that one mainly because, one, you had different characters. Friday 13th was just Jason, but I heard there were a lot of bugs, and don't get me wrong, Dead by Daylight has a lot of bugs, but with the Friday 13th one, it just wasn't doing it for me what I was seeing. With this one, this game looks like it's going to be legitimately scary. It's also a 4v1, so it's very, very similar, or it's asymmetrical. Let me take that back. Not 4v1, it's asymmetrical. So that means that you have one player versus a number of other players. So it could be 4v1, it could be 3v1, 20v1. Either way, you have one versus a number of other ones. So with this game, really looking forward to it. I'm hoping that I don't want it to be, everyone says this is going to be the next Dead by Daylight killer. I don't think that's going to be it. Dead by Daylight is still going to be a game I go back to. It's I've always called Dead by Daylight a glorified version of hide and seek, which it is. So I think that'll always be a fun one for me to go back to, as angry as I get with some of the other players. But it is still, this game is still one that I'm very looking forward to. And finally, before we get to our creepy topics, because I'm not going to be doing a topic of the week, but I do want to talk about, Diablo Immortal's microtransactions have made it 24 million in 2 weeks. So let me read this. This is from IGN. By anyone that doesn't know, Diablo Immortal is a Diablo game that came out, but it's mainly for, right now, it's just to play on your phone. It's a phone game. So Diablo Immortal appears to be off to a strong start. As the mobile focused take on the Blizzard, it takes on the Blizzard franchise, has generated over $24 million in revenue in its first 2 weeks. As reported by PC Games and industry tracking website AppMagic, has shared some interesting tidbits of data for the free-to-play Diablo Immortal alongside the microtransaction details, including that the USA and South Korea have spent the most money and that the game has been downloaded more than 5 million times. The US has accounted for 26% of all global downloads and 43% of the previously mentioned revenue. Speaking of revenue, South Korea is in second place at 23% and Japan takes third with 8%. These impressive numbers were achieved despite many players being upset about the implementation of Diablo Immortal's microtransactions. Certain players have complained about Immortal's best loot suddenly being very difficult to get without spending a lot of money. And even then, that loot isn't guaranteed. In our Diablo Immortal review in progress, we said, "I've only just started on my Diablo Immortal journey, but I like what I've played so far. The combat feels potent and weighty, with plenty of skill options for building out rounded and fun combat approaches. The story moves along at a brisk pace, opening up new zones steadily, while the many character progression systems ensured that I felt like I was always making progress and growing more powerful." And with more than 20 hours of microtransaction-free gameplay behind me, there's clearly a lot of content to enjoy before you need to consider spending money. So this is very much a game you can try before you buy. Either way, they made $24 million in 2 weeks, and they're making a lot. I mean, with mobile games, I'm not a big fan of them. One, I don't like playing games on my phone. I'll play Wordle. I think that's it. I don't play other games on my phone. It's not my thing. Especially games like Immortal. Or I believe Mario had one. I think it was just a regular Mario game, Super Mario Brothers game. I believe there was one. I think it was a Mario Endless Runner. There was Mario Kart. There've been a lot of games. There's Dead by Daylight has it on there. And don't get me wrong, I've tried it. Just not my thing. Your fingers get in the way. It's just not the same feel. I played games on PC. I played games on Xbox. I played games on PlayStation. I prefer doing them that way than mobile. The other thing about mobile games is they're put in place to look. All games are put in place to take your money because you pay money. You buy a game. That's it. But it seems like mobile games are specifically put in place to really get you in there so they can take your money. You want to buy better weapons, you want to gamble, and it is gambling. Loot boxes are gambling. And Jose and I back in the day, we talked about this, where, yes, technically you're not putting money in and get money out of there, but you're gambling. You know, if I pay I pay $20 to get 20 chips. And for each chip, I get a chance that I might get the helmet that I want, but I might not. I might get a pair of gloves, and the next time I get the same pair of gloves. So I'll put another chip in there. And it's just this nonstop cycle. And they're illegal in a lot of countries. I believe America should look more into this, because this is not good. It is good for game makers because it's making him a ton of money. I don't think it's good for games. I don't think it's good for people. I think this is taking advantage of those that that get addicted to, you know, hey, I'll pay this. What am I going to get out of it? Diablo's doing it. Blizzard's doing it. And Blizzard's they're the franchise that started this. And look, Blizzard has some has a history of just doing some bad things. Even though I say, well, you know, now that I think about it, I said I was going to play Diablo 4. And the more I think about it, I actually might not. Not because so after Diablo 3 came out, Blizzard did some things which I don't feel comfortable supporting them. I don't know. I mean, even with this just kind of adds on to that. Who knows? We've talked about it in the past on the podcast. You guys can do your research. Blizzard is a company that has a lot of internal issues to figure out, and this is not helping them out. And, you know, when I was talking about Diablo 4, I was like, oh, yeah, I'll definitely play it because I like Diablo 3. But the more I think about it, the more I'm just maybe I'll hold off for a bit to see what happens with that company. Sorry to bring you down on that, but we're going to take a quick break. And we're going to be back with Eddie Spaghetti. We're going to be talking about our creepy topics. If you guys have any questions, anything you want to talk about, I'm sorry you've just been listening to me the entire time. Hopefully in the next few weeks, I'll have somebody to join me with the geeky side. For right now, you're stuck with me. So guys, if you guys want, you can email us at geekerscreeperscast@gmail.com. Again, geekerscreeperscast@gmail.com. And you can follow us on Twitter at Geekers Creepers. So for right now, we're going to be taking a quick break, and we'll be right back. And welcome back to Geekers Creepers. This is a podcast where we talk about the geeky side of life and we talk about the creepy side of life. Well, right now we are about to get creepy because it's the creepy part of Geekers Creepers. And as stated earlier, I am joined by my host, Eddie Spaghetti. How's it going, Eddie?
Doing well. How you doing, buddy?
Good, good. You know, just enjoying a relaxing Sunday. Afternoon, yeah. Ready to talk about some of these creepy topics. So, today we're going to talk about, let me quickly go over, we're going to be talking about Bensonville, Illinois, which has multiple sightings, strange sightings. Some might say it's the Mothman, some might say it's just an owl, who knows. Then we're also going to be talking, we're going to be watching this video. I don't know if you had a chance to watch it yet, Ed, but it's a boy that's going around in this Ferris wheel, and he disappears the second time around. It's not a Ferris wheel. It's like, I don't know what they're called, but there you see him at all these like small pop-up carnivals. Mm-hmm. So it's really weird. There's two boys on there. And then when he comes back around, one of them has disappeared. So I want you to take a look at it, you know, kind of get what you think may have happened. We're going to be talking about this mysterious dog man photo happened out by a zoo in Amarillo, Texas. And finally, I'd like to talk about the Sandown clown. I'm going to have to read a little story about that. So it's going to take some time, but with that one, it's a very weird, and in my opinion, a creepy sighting of who knows what, but we are going to start out with Bensonville, which has had multiple strange sightings. The first article I'm going to read from is a witness that reports a giant red-eyed man bat in Bensonville, Illinois. And so this is from one of our favorite websites, singular14.com. They do a lot of cases out in the Midwest. I believe they're located out here in the either Chicagoland or Milwaukee area. So from this, Manuel Navarrete of UFO Clearinghouse said he received the following report at the end of April, which details an encounter with the winged humanoid in Bensonville, Illinois, that reportedly occurred on the 28th of that month. And this is the story from the witness. I was at work Thursday night. I had just brought back a man lift from a construction site that we had picked up and brought back to the yard. I had just driven the man lift off of the trailer and was just about to get back into the truck to park it when I saw some movement from the back of the yard. I grabbed a flashlight and headed back towards the storage containers that are kept in the back. I saw something on top of the container and I shined a light on it and asked them what the hell they were doing back there and said that I was about to call the police if they didn't get out of there. I kept walking towards them and yelling when I heard a series of clicks, rapid fire clicks, and what sounded like chirping. I'm a bit of a history buff, and back in World War II, U.S. troops used to carry these clickers called crickets that they used to communicate with one another. This sounded like these clickers, only faster and louder, same pitch and tone. I was about 12 feet from the container when I looked up and was met with a pair of red eyes that were staring directly at me. These were attached to what looked like a tall being that must have been at least 6 to 7 feet tall and looked like a giant man bat kind of thing. I lost my blank and started backing up while trying not to scream like a little girl. This man bat was partially lit up by the lights we have around the yard. I tried to shine my flashlight on this thing and it started clicking at me and took off into the air. It took off towards the north. I practically ran back to the truck and got in and parked it. I swear to God, I sprinted towards my car, which was parked by the main building where it was lit up by the streetlights. Thoughts of something swooping down to attack me were swirling around in my head. I got in my car and left, not stopping till I got home. And it goes a little further. The witness was reluctant at first to speak with Navarrete, but the investigator said he was eventually able to convince the man to speak with him about his experience. The witness reportedly told Navarrete that he has been a driver for an industrial equipment rental company for about 3 years. So it goes into a little more detail, but I just want to read that part of the story. And then we have another one from Bensonville. And this is witness claimed to have recorded three winged humanoids in Bensonville, Illinois. This is Manuel Navarrete, also of UFO Clearinghouse, recently received the following report from a man who said he was outside with his daughter in Bensonville, Illinois, when at approximately 4 p.m. on May 17th, they witnessed three human-shaped objects that looked like they had wings flying overhead. This is a story. I was outside of my yard and preparing for a family cookout with my daughter when we both saw what I can only describe as three human-shaped objects that looked like they had wings flying overhead. It looked like they were all flying in circles about 60 to 70 feet above us and moving towards the expressway to the west of us. My daughter took out her camera and tried her best to take video of the flying people, but they did come out a bit grainy and unfocused. She and I were talking about how we both had been hearing about the Mothman that seemed to haunt O'Hare, and since the airport is only about a mile and a half down Irving Park Road, it seemed logical to me that this could be the same thing. We kept watching them until they were no longer able to be seen, and I asked her to please send me the video. I know it's not much. I tried my best, but I'm an electrician and I'm not a professional photographer. I can tell you that these were not planes, and there were no planes in the area. And since we are accustomed to seeing planes landing, they pass over our house at very low altitude and would have been very plain to see and hear in great detail. I have lived at this house for over 10 years, and we are quite used to seeing these planes as they come in to land at the airport. These flying things were too high up and too small to be mistaken for any sort of aircraft. You didn't need to be an expert to make out their shapes as roughly human-like and what appeared to be wings. It could have been birds, but these birds would have been pretty large if they were. All right, so these are two stories, both taking place in Bensonville. Now, did you get a chance to take a look at the video, Ed?
Well, it's a very short video, right?
Short video doesn't really, there's no real movement. You just see like the three dots up there.
I see the three dots and then they looked in on them. And mm-hmm. I don't really make out anything from the three dots other than they kind of look cylindrical. So mm-hmm. I don't know if I could say it's like a bird of any sort. But if it's cylindrical and maybe like mechanical, that's kind of interesting, right?
So let me ask you, have you heard of the Mothman?
Yes.
Okay. So supposedly, to any listeners who don't know, the Mothman was this creature that supposedly popped up in, I think it was called Mount Pleasant. I think so, out in North Carolina. And there were multiple sightings, and it all the sightings ended after there was a bridge collapse that killed people there. So the theory was that this was a bad omen, you know, that, but what was it? What was it they were seeing? And at the time there were people that were said they legitimately saw something with big red eyes that would chase after them. And there's a movie that's based on the book that was written about this, which is a very good movie, but it does take liberties, you know, to make it creepier. I know at first it was just a bad omen, and it led to the, you know, like I said, culminated with the bridge collapsing. Now out here in, I'm not gonna lie, this singular 14, like it's week after week, they have multiple sightings just here. That's been known. Like this is like the Mothman headquarters is.
Yeah. No, this is something to be worth you know, taking a closer look at. I mean, if it's continually happening, and this is yeah, I mean this is like plain daylight. So I mean, I don't know why people, and it makes sense because if it's Bensenville literally sits right next to the O'Hare Airport. So you can actually, I actually work around there. So you actually can see low flying planes. And these are obviously, if you look at the pictures, they're obviously not like, it's not aircraft. And it doesn't look like, for me, it doesn't look like anything like Mothman like, but it's definitely something that looks like, I mean, it looks like it could be something, it's like cylindrical of some sort. So, I mean,
So it's kind of weird. They, you know, you always say, well, why didn't you take a better picture, a better video? I'm going to be honest. There are times where it happens to me plenty of times. I see something, I'm like, oh, let me take a picture of this with my phone. When I look at the photo, I'm like, oh, you know what? My phone doesn't take a picture the way I see it. I have to zoom in. And like when it takes a photo, it actually seems a lot farther out. So, you know, I might see something, I take a photo and I'm like, oh, that's not what I wanted to take. With these things that are flying, I mean, I believe that these people saw what they say they saw. What they are, I don't know. You know, they believe they saw something, these three dots, they said to them, from their viewpoint, they look humanoid. It's just weird. And then let's talk about the other report. The guy that was, again, in the back, saw this big thing with red eyes, 6-7 feet tall, leap up, make these clicking noises, and, you know, he kind of makes a run for it. I would have made a run for it too, I'll be honest. I would have, I think I would have been out of there as soon as I heard the clicking noises.
Yeah, I'd point on that. I think is it the longest day? What was that Stanley Kubrick film? Is it the longest day or... you actually get to see it actually might be in the Band of Brothers. So you actually get to hear what that person was referring to. Okay. So, I mean, if you want to go to reference that, but that's interesting. I don't know. I mean, I think bats make like low frequency chirps, right? And they do make a noise, but, maybe that's a, you know, that click is something that's like bat like, you know, something like that. But I mean, this it's hard to think that this guy didn't see something, you know, that scared him. So I mean, yeah, it's very interesting, this one. That one is both of these are very, because one is like kind of like photographic stuff, but then there's you know, kind of like a first-hand account. This one is definitely a little bit different, like with that type of thing.
So for a while, like Jose and I would cover this because they happen all the time, and one of our theories was maybe it's just an owl, because he had said, and I've had two people tell me this, that they step outside and there was this huge owl just looking at them. And, you know, an owl spreads its wings. It just looks huge. Uh-huh. You think of an owl as being this tiny animal, but I mean, they can look pretty big. And at night you might see something different. Mm-hmm. You know, but it's just, maybe there's this like crazy big owl that's out in Bensonville that just creeping out everybody over the last few years. But there have been multiple sightings, and it's specifically out in this area. Now, Eddie, when you're out there, you know, if you see something, make sure you got your camera ready to take a photo or video, because you never know. You might be next.
Yeah, definitely. Well, yeah, that's the thing is, I'm definitely in that area regularly. And then, I mean, I pretty much know exactly which area they're talking about when they're taking pictures or something like that. The photo of the three objects is really kind of cool, because it's like, that's kind of like in the middle of the day. And, when you're in that area, you actually see flights coming in and out of O'Hare, really low, and you can tell it's a plane because it's really loud, and it feels like it's flying literally like right over your head type thing. So this is very interesting.
And the other thing is, if folklore is correct and a Mothman is a sign of a bad thing to happen, I think O'Hare's the last place you want that. You want to see that, you know?
I live around there.
Yeah. So, you know, that's not good news out there. I would, you know, this has happened so many times, and I don't want to doubt the people that have seen this. There was actually one where we read about 2 years ago now, where the creature started to chase after the lady. Again, this was the same area. This was O'Hare. She worked at O'Hare, was going to her car, saw this big thing, open up his wings and started to go after her. And she just ran into her car and just locked the door. Again, was it a bird that was just, you know, protecting its nest? Maybe. It might just be that. But it just happens so often. And with all these stories, maybe this happens more often in other places. It's just that the singular 14 Society gets their stories from this area. But if you look at other sites, this area is known for like the quote unquote Mothman sightings. I guess that's like our Bigfoot in essence.
Right. It's hard to say because I think you saw my pictures of the owl. There's a great horned owl that was in our neighborhood for a few autumns and springs. And definitely, I mean, I wasn't used to it. So like when you would hear it and when you would see it, it was definitely, these things are pretty big compared to what you think they might be. And, I mean, I could see that. But on the other hand, this is really crazy that, that there's something that they think is like 6 feet tall, though. This is definitely something a little bit different, though.
Anybody listening out there, humanoid. It's just anyone listening out there, give us your theories. I know one of our listeners, G, we call her G. She thought that maybe it is extra dimensional. She's got her theory on that. We've had other theories that, like for Jose and I, we were like, it's probably just a big owl. I don't want to discredit the people that are seeing something crazy, and I don't, but it's just like, what's the rational explanation for this? You know, is there one? You know, you have so many people that are, it's not like they're getting famous off of this. Why would anybody want to say, I saw a humanoid figure coming after me? You know, what's the benefit that they're on the Singular 14 website? I highly doubt they're paying big cash for Mothman stories.
Right. Yeah. Well, that's the thing. You can't discredit people. If they went through something that was scary. Yeah. That's another thing too. This would be something like as I work out there, I'd keep my eyes peeled for anything out there. This is interesting. Yeah.
Maybe we'll get an update from Ed. He'll be able to find out, you know. One day we won't be able to get a hold of him, and we'll find out that the Mothman finally took him.
All right. Fingers crossed. No.
Yeah, fingers crossed he won't. And my next guest is the Mothman. All right, so we have our next topic, and that is going to be about the boy who disappears in a video. So let me bring that site up. And by the way, everyone, I will be, as usual, attaching links, or I will attach a link to all these stories. So this is from Anomalian. This is in Malaysia. Parents and their son came to ride the rides. Well, this is just, the story isn't written the best, but we'll watch the video. And put the boy on a children's carousel while they themselves began to shoot him on the phone. Another boy was sitting next to their son, but he somehow mysteriously disappeared in a matter of seconds, and no one understood where he had gone. A very mysterious video was recently posted on TikTok and soon went viral on social media. Some call it another glitch in the matrix. Others write that the missing boy was an obvious ghost. Others skeptically assure that the video is a montage that is a fake. Nur Efrina Rosny, 30, and her husband came with their five-year-old son, Muiz Afran, to a fair in Johor, Malaysia. Muiz wanted to ride on a bright carousel, and his parents allowed him to ride alone because adults were not allowed. They began to film their son riding on video and soon noticed a very strange detail, the disappearance of a boy who was sitting in the same yellow cart with their son. The boy disappeared in just a couple of seconds. During that time, the carousel made one revolution. However, the boy definitely couldn't fall anywhere because the cart device would sound an alarm if the safety bar was raised. At the same time, this protection is common to two chairs. So Muiz would also be at risk of falling. But at the end of the trip, he was in his place with the protective bar lowered. All right, and I'm going to play this video. Let me make sure I got sound off here. All right, so
taking a few looks at this one already.
You've already seen it?
A few. I've taken a few, but let's go ahead and.
All right, here. Let me share
through one more time.
All right, can you see my screen?
Yes.
All right, here you see the two boys there. They go around the yellow cart, goes around, and here it comes back. And that is correct. There's only one boy. So let's go back here, and I want to pause it.
It's kind of weird. It looks like the kid is still talking to someone. Maybe I'm...
You are absolutely correct. So I pause it right here because I'm like, maybe the boy lowered his head, but I don't see it. I just see him just right there. Or is he looking at his parents? All right, let's go back one more time. So here, we got the two kids.
He's looking at the kid right now.
Yeah, they're looking at each other. And it comes back around. And it does look like he's still looking at the kid. That is crazy. That is crazy. I don't know, Ed. That is creepy.
Okay. I mean, amateur special effects. Special effects award if they did pull that one off.
But, yeah.
Glitch in the Matrix. That's weird.
It's for our listeners. I will definitely attach this. Take a look at it. I mean, there's a few theories. One, it's just a big hoax. Somebody, you know, it's TikTok. TikTok, you know, people want their, what they call them, TikTokers? I don't know what they call what, you know, people that are, they're fans. So maybe Ed's right. Maybe it is just a amateur SFX person. I don't see a part where it, where there's an edit, but hey, the better you are at doing this, the more, less likely you're likely to see an edit there. But it's very creepy because Ed is right. When the boy goes around, you see the two boys looking at each other talking. And as it goes around the second time, the boy still looks like he's talking to somebody, but there's nobody there. And if you pause the video, I was trying to see maybe the kid put his head down. Maybe he's somewhere by the, but you don't see the kid anywhere. You just see
him ducked. Someone ducked. No, that's really odd.
It's definitely a creepy video. You know, is this a ghost that was captured on video? You know, next thing you know, second time it goes around, the ghost is gone, but the kid still sees it. You always hear that kids have that sixth sense, you know, that I guess it's always creepy because, you know, I didn't have, well, maybe I did, but a lot of kids have that imaginary friend, you know, and it's like, well, who's this kid talking to, you know?
Well, no, that's interesting. That one is, you could see, oh yeah. They did like a little, post, I'm sorry, like two little freeze framed shots up on top.
Oh, let me see here.
If you guys see it, it's there. So
yeah.
One shot looks like he's either looking at the parents or looking. I feel like he was talking. It looked like he was still talking to someone. So
yes, it does.
Yeah.
And at no point does this ride stop. It's not like this kid's parents were on the other side and grabbed him off the ride right away.
Definitely irresponsible parents. Like, oh, I better keep following. Like, this is crazy. My kid disappeared. You know, keep filming.
Well, yeah, it's not their kid. I think this was just this random boy that was on there.
Okay.
This is another boy was sitting next to their son.
Huh.
Yeah. This is definitely one of those videos that this one gives me chills, because if it's a fake video, very well done, very creepy. If it's real, I mean, like I said, there could be how does a kid suddenly disappear off a carousel? Let's go.
There's a wormhole in Malaysia.
Yeah. He is now on the other side of the world. But I do want people to take a look at this, because I think as far as when it comes to creepy videos, this one is up there. They hopefully we'll get an answer to this, and it'll be just a guy with really good editing skills.
Definitely.
So real quick, we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to be back with our mysterious Dogman photo. And welcome back. We are still going over our news of the week. And for our next story, this takes place all the way down south in Amarillo, Texas. Not armadillo, Amarillo. No, the city of Amarillo, Texas asked for help solving the mystery of a dog man photo. This is from Singular 14. And it states, in a press release published to their website, the city of Amarillo has asked its citizens to come forward and help solve the mystery of an unusual photograph reportedly taken via trail camera at the Amarillo Zoo. The photo was first posted anonymously last month to social media site Reddit by someone who said that it was originally shared by an employee of the zoo in a private zookeeper ground on Facebook. The person who posted it to Reddit said the Facebook group is meant to be a resource for keepers getting to know each other when they visit each other's facilities, and that the original posters, other posts in the group go back at least a year and are all just normal animal keeper type posts. According to the anonymous poster, the zookeeper who shared the image to Facebook said the image was caught on a trail camera, pointed at a perimeter fence, and that they decided to share it after being unable to figure out what it was. There's no accompanying video or other photos. The photo shared to social media is reportedly the only one captured by the trail cam. The photo itself appears to show a mysterious bipedal figure standing outside of a security fence. The figure's head is oddly shaped and resembles a canine with upright ears and a long muzzle, which quickly led it to speculation among cryptid enthusiasts that the trail cam had captured a dogman. Dogman is said to be a bipedal canine monster reported everywhere from Australia to the United States. Another immediate, more skeptical speculation regarding the photograph was that it featured someone in a costume, possibly even as part of a hoax perpetrated by an employee of the Amarillo Zoo. Still, others like cryptozoologist Ken Gerhold have speculated that the figure could be a misidentification. Quote, if not an outright fabrication, I initially thought it might be an optical illusion involving a coyote, or perhaps two facing away from the camera, Gerhold said in a post to Facebook. Upon closer inspection, the object displays an obvious lack of biological symmetry. For example, if you enlarge it, you will see that the black line that appears to resemble the space between two legs actually dissects the object completely. What appears to be a head and arms also lacks the expected form we might see from an animal. Unless there's significant blurring resulting from motion, in which case there's an unlikely chance it's an owl in flight, perhaps. Most likely, the object could merely be debris blowing by the wind was 16 miles per hour that night. Quote, I once observed a large garbage bag stuck on a fence post on a windy day, and from a distance it looked exactly like a huge bird flapping its wings. So we can go into a little more, but that's pretty much the essence of it. Let me see here. Let me read this part here. On June 8th, over 2 weeks after the photo was first shared, the city of Amarillo published a tongue-in-cheek press release to their website, asking for help in identifying whoever or whatever is responsible for the mysterious figure. And it stated, in the dark and early morning hours of May 21st, around 1:25 a.m., security cameras inside a perimeter fence at the Amarillo Zoo capture a strange image outside the zoo. Was it a person with a strange hat who likes to walk at night? A large coyote on its hind legs? A chupacabra? It is a mystery for Amarillo to help solve. For now, the strange visitor is a UAO, unidentified Amarillo object. However, perhaps Amarillo has a better explanation. In the spirit of fun, if not curiosity, the city of Amarillo is letting the public offer ideas on the identity of the UAO. We just want to let Amarillo community have some fun with this, said the city of Amarillo. Director of Parks and Recreation, Michael Kashuba, it is important to note that this entity was outside the Amarillo Zoo. There were no signs of attempted entry into the zoo. No animals or individuals were harmed. There were no signs of criminal activity or vandalism. It is definitely a strange and interesting image. Maybe Amarillo can help solve the mystery of the UAO, unquote. Have an idea about Amarillo's UAO? Let us know via COA communication. All right. So you saw the picture. It looks like it's staring. Is it me or does it look like it's staring right at the camera?
Yeah. That's my problem with this whole thing. Like, kind of like it's doing like a GQ, like, ooh, you caught me.
he's giving blue Double steel
dog man,
blue steel Double to the camera. Yeah.
I'm actually just trying to see like where this possibly was taken. I'm zooming into the Amarillo Zoo on Google Maps right now, and I'm just double checking to see. This is a little odd. this is a little cheeky, I would say.
Yeah.
Is it?
So, yeah. What do you think? You think it's just some guy that dressed up as something, or is it
an old Jar Jar Binks Halloween costume? Well, you know, why couldn't, Annie, well, he's so why couldn't they release Misa gonna stay in Amarillo? I can't do any more harm there. it looks like he's the it's either staring at like directly at the camera or it's like or it's like looking like to its looking forward. So I don't know.
So I'm gonna share this. This is hilarious. So these are what some people are thinking that the dog man is. Let me share these photos here. So what if they're like, is it Chester Cheetah? The other one, is it Poochie from The Simpsons? Wile E. Coyote.
Wile E. Coyote.
This is my favorite. Michael Jackson doing his Michael leg Jackson. Thing.
Because this is Thriller.
So all of these are the possible culprits of the dog man. I like the idea that it's Chester Cheetah just out there trying to get his flaming hot Cheetos. But
there's no video. Give me a break. Okay, come on.
It's a fun one. I think I like the fact that city of Amarillo is actually having fun with it. Watch for once we actually have a photo of the chupacabra. We're all like laughing at it. he's back at home, be like, whew, I almost got caught.
Yeah, I know. Thought I was safe in Amarillo, but no. Time to come after me.
Time to get back to Puerto Rico. Yeah.
Yeah, this is very suspect just because there's no video of it, and it's clearly on a well, it looks like it's on like a
trail cam. Yeah, it's a trail cam. It's got like, you know, it films video, so they would film it, you know, going across. Like they probably caught something goofy and they're like, oh, look what this is, and they found the best picture and said, let's have fun.
The same technology is available for like with video is the same is available for like deer hunters or game hunters and this is just someone in a suit or just someone having some fun here.
I have a couple of theories. It could be somebody in a suit. My other thing is it could be actually just like this photo, this still, whatever got caught there actually formed this. So it could be like, I don't know, let's say they are two coyotes or two dogs just kind of, you know, jumping about, that it caught this perfect still image that made it look weird. The guy said, you know, a paper bag could look like a bird when it was caught in a fence, because had it continued to look like this, I think they would show the rest of the video. They would show it actually walking off. It's not like they, this looks like it's from a, it's a still from a video. It's not just a photo that was taken.
Right. Right.
So where's the rest of the video? Like you said, where's the rest of the video?
Let's look at the rest of the video. If it's there. And if it's someone doing a moonwalk.
I was about to say that. It's like, the rest of the video is just it moonwalking. So
it looks like a John. If it looks like a John Landis directed music video, then we got a fake on our hands.
He's just doing the Thriller thing with his hands in the air, the little Thriller dance.
The zombie dance.
Yeah, the zombie dance. case closed. All right. Well, we're going to take one more quick pause and then we're going to be back. I'm going to tell a little story. It's going to be about the sundown clown. And then Eddie and I were going to talk about this. So we'll be right back. It was a Tuesday afternoon at around 4 o'clock in May of 1973, near Lake Common Sandow. There was Faye and another boy near her age. As they were walking, they heard a weird wailing noise, something similar to an ambulance siren. They followed the noise across golf links and through a hedge leading to a swampy meadow. Suddenly, the noise stopped. They were crossing over a wooden bridge when suddenly a gloved hand appeared from under the bridge and a strange figure emerged. The figure standing there in front of them dropped a book into the water, then splashed around to retrieve it. The two children then saw this figure enter a metallic hut. A hut similar to those used by construction workers. This figure moved strangely, in a weird hopping motion, with its knees raised high. The children soon after moved away, about 50 yards away from where the figure had entered the building. Suddenly, the figure reappeared. Carrying a microphone, the wailing noise suddenly returned, this time being so loud that the boy ran away. The noise suddenly stopped. This figure spoke into the microphone, and it was so loud that even though the children were 50 yards away, they could hear him say, "Hello, are you still there?" And what sounded as a friendly tone made the children come closer to this figure. As they neared the figure, they realized he or she or it was 7 feet tall, and that it had no neck. His head appeared to be wedged straight onto its shoulders. It wore a yellow pointed hat, which interlocked with the red collar of a green tunic, and a round black knob was affixed to the top of his hat, and wooden antennae were attached to either side. The face itself, the eyes, they were triangular. The nose was a brown square, and the lips were motionless and yellow. There were other markings that were on his paper white cheeks, and a fringe of red hair fell onto his forehead. Wooden slats protruded from his sleeves and from below his white trousers. While the children were there, he wrote in a notebook. It said, "Hello, and I am all colors, Sam." The boy was scared. Faye, though, read every word as his figure pointed it out. This was necessary because the writing was not written in a logical manner. He would point to each word and the children would read it. The children got closer and they noticed that this creature could speak without the aid of the microphone. As the children approached, he asked the children about themselves. So they asked questions to him also. They asked about his clothes that were tattered. They also asked him, "Is he really a man?" This figure looked at the children, laughed, and said, "No." Children were curious. They asked, "Are you a ghost?" Which he replied, "Well, not really, but I am in an odd sort of way." They continued with, "What are you then?" And he looked at the children and said, "You know." He did not explain this any further. He also told the children that he had no name and that there were other beings like him. He drew a sketch of one of those beings. He also told the children that he was afraid of people and scared that they might hurt him. Apparently, if attacked, he would not fight back. This creature then invited the children into his hut. The children crawled in, and through a flap, there were two levels. The lower had plenty of headroom and was wallpapered in blue-green and covered in patterns of dials. It also had an electric heater and simple wooden furniture. He told the children that he ate berries, and specifically ones that he had collected that afternoon. He didn't say where, but he did indicate that he had a camp on the mainland that he would go to. He also said that the water from the river could be drunk once he had cleaned it. Now, once inside, he removed his hat to reveal round white ears and sparse brown hair. As he was about to eat one of the berries, he performed an unusual trick. He placed the berry in his ear, thrust his head forward, and caused the berry to disappear and reappear at one of his odd eyes. Repeating the process, the berry traveled to his mouth. The children continued to speak with the strange creature for over half an hour, and after saying goodbye, they rushed across the golf links to tell the first man they met that they'd seen a ghost. The man merely laughed, but the children were convinced of their experience and that the being was either a ghost or someone dressed up. Some 3 weeks later, Faye told her father of this experience. At first, he found it unbelievable, as most people would, but he was amazed at the detail that Faye would give regarding this experience. She was also quite upset when he suggested that she made it up. Faye's father went to the boy and also found him not easy to communicate with, though he did get a statement that verified Faye's story. There was such extraordinary detail, however. This included the further point that the creature clearly had only 3 fingers on each blue glove and 3 toes on his bare white feet, making a deliberate hoax somewhat difficult. And indeed, why would they go through all that trouble? Faye's father says, "I get the impression that Faye was somehow taken into a bubble of alien reality created by the strange personage. He told them he had just made the hut. Also, Faye told me that while they were talking to this ghost, 2 workmen nearby were repairing a post. They paid no attention to the weird charade as though they could not see it." Again, the question is, what did the children see that day? What did they see in Sandown near Lake Common? Was this a hoax? Was this one of the construction workers? Was this unusual spaceman? An alien? A being from an alternative dimension? Or was it a ghost? Till this day, the children, who are now adults, have not changed their story. They have not stated that it was a lie and it was fabricated. Will we ever truly know what the Sandown clown was? Or is this just another mystery left to be unsolved? All right, so that is a story of the Sandown clown. A couple things. I also followed up on this, Ed, and up until today's date, I think maybe the kids may have passed away, even though 1973 is not that far you know, not that far back, but they have still, they've kept to the story. They never changed their story. So,
yeah, no, I mean, these kids are closer to my, I guess my older brother's age. Mm-hmm. I mean, I wouldn't think they would have passed on just yet, but,
so this is still, and I want to also state that this, the story that we read was from, it's the Bufora Journal. So what it, I believe it's the British UFO journal. They'll meet with people and write up stories. It's actually a really cool, a really cool little journal that they've got. They just write down all the stories. They meet with people who have said that they've, interview people who have said they have weird sightings, and they write down their story and pretty much publish a journal. It's a journal for cryptozoologists and UFO buffs. But, you know, that notwithstanding, what do you think of this story? So
if they stuck with all the little details, like, mm-hmm. All right, they, they notice all these specific things. It's, and they stuck with it. It's kind of, that'd be kind of where I would go with this. This is kind of interesting.
Have you looked at a picture online to see what he looks like?
Yeah. There's a couple pictures online here, and that's kind of interesting. Yeah. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
It'd be kind of curious. Is this like a robot, or is this?
So that's the thing. It looks like a robot. So these kids to have told this story, they have to have, you know, they have to have fantastic imagination. Just, you know, a fantastic imagination if they made this up, because this is just. It doesn't look like a UFO that you and I would say, you know, that would say, you know, everybody's like, oh, I saw little green aliens, or I saw a gray alien. It doesn't look like a ghost. I mean, this looks like something that would just, if there was a UFO, if there was an alien, it would, you know, if we were to see it, we might not be able to describe it correctly and just say, this thing looks just really weird. You know, who's to say that it would, you know, that would have eyes and a nose and ears, you know, it just, the way the kids describe it, it just looks like you say, a robot, or just something that's just really just off.
Mm-hmm. When they say he's a ghost in some way, I don't know. Mm-hmm. Could it be like a transdimensional being, if that's the case?
And Jose's big thing was a bigot to transdimensional beings. Yes, it could be something like that. You know, it's just for them. I'd like to say that it was a shared hallucination, right? But you know, I don't know. This is definitely a play.
It seems like it's kind of like a playful being. it wasn't there to do any harm, which was good. That's the one thing. Yeah, I don't know. Is this if this is for real? This doesn't feel like, I don't think it's like a ghost story. It's it feels like it's it feels more like UFO / time traveler type thing, if that's the case. You know, just I wonder what the what was the microphone for again?
He would speak into it. That's what the kids said it was. You know, was it a microphone? Was it something else? You know, they asked the question. I mean, the way he answered these questions, they asked if he was really a man. The answer was a chuckled no. They also asked if he was a ghost. And he said, well, not really, but I am in an odd sort of way. And then they asked, what are you then? And he has just answered, you know. That's just like, I mean, that is just creepy. And if it's a hoax, what we do know, there's a couple things here. They compared the home, the iron, whatever you call it, the iron place that he went into as like a makeshift kind of work area, you know, like a metal work area. And remember, they do later say that there were workers there that, what does he say? That there were workmen nearby repairing a post. So was this one of the workmen just playing a prank on one of the kids, you know, you know, which is kind of, you know, come on, do your job, dude. Because like, you know, maybe they just put like, maybe they put that up as a temporary site to, so they could work on areas. Cause when the dad went back weeks later, the hut was gone.
Right. Correct. Yeah. Like a temporary workman site.
You know, and maybe this guy was wearing some kind of protective gear that for the work that they were doing that the kids misinterpreted as something very weird, even though it was just, I can't think of any protective gear that would look anything like this. I'm just trying to think of a rational, you know, a rational reason, you know, or what this might be.
This isn't like a gas. He didn't have like some type of gas mask on that they didn't understand. I don't know.
Yeah. And I'm thinking that might be it, you know, while they were working out there. But, you know, again, these, I don't believe in the fact that it's a shared hallucination. There are two kids. The way the story goes, it's not like they both peacefully saw a UFO. Remember, one of the kids, as soon as he saw this, made a run for it. One of the kids was very smart and just booked it. But then, you know, stopped, turned around and started to talk to this thing. So it wasn't like they both, you know, they're like, oh yeah, we ran into, this very happy clown alien. And you know, he baked us cookies. No, like one kid makes a run for it. He's like, this thing is creepy. I'm out of here. Yeah. And to this day, they've said that this happened to them. This is a very interesting story. You know, they say, well, what is it? A ghost, a spaceman, hallucination, you know, the theory that, you have a time traveler. Was it, interdimensional?
Kind of funny. That's kind of like a funny answer. It's just like, if you're not a ghost, what are, you know.
Yeah, you exactly, you know. Like, all right. Oh, I do not.
Okay. I don't, but no, it's kind of yeah, I mean that could be it. Like a workman having fun doing this type of stuff. But this is three fingers, three toes. I mean, that's pretty specific too. Yeah.
Three fingers, three toes comes right out of the water. You know, I mean, again, you know, if it's maybe the kids, was it a guy working on something underwater and he comes out, he was wearing his suit, you know, and the kids,
right.
You know, the three toes or maybe the fins that he had, you know, like you have your flippers. Cause I mean, I think it does start out that thing came out of the water.
Right.
And maybe the kids are misremembering what they saw. You know, they saw something that was really unusual. Maybe they had never seen, you know, a scuba diver. And what they saw, they tried to describe to the best of their knowledge. And this is how they, you know, described, you know, what this thing was, you know, even though it may have been a person. But then why would the person, you know, look, I mean, nothing bad seemed to have happened to the kids. But why would a grown adult, you know, say, come on into my to my workshop here, this little metallic cut I have in the middle of the woods here.
Right.
But that also begs the question, why would a crazy time traveling clown do it either? I don't know. For me, I remember when I first heard this, I found it very creepy because I can't, this is a story that's
very interesting.
Go ahead.
Yeah. And the, like you said, I would doubt it would be like a shared hallucination, like where they're, maybe they dropped acid and then did this type of thing. But on the other hand, they're saying this is a human proportion. So
yes.
So it's kind of interesting.
But he was nearly 7 feet tall.
That's that. Yeah. Yeah. This one is yeah, I think we could I'd like to look further into it, mm-hmm. but this is interesting because it was, you know, it was very denial. It wasn't there's nothing that was really what's the word? This was definitely a harmless encounter, mm-hmm. so to speak.
Yeah,
and it looked like it was like a clown. And well, we keep forgetting. They're calling it a clown. It was doing like little food tricks, right?
That's it. That's right.
Yeah,
it's that one thing in its ear, and then, So maybe it,
or it could be a guy trying out his clown. Trying to be tricks. A little less creepy in magic tricks with the children, but I don't know.
What is your name? Gallagher.
A little creepy.
Watch you smash this watermelon. So
get the mallet out.
the Sandown Clown, that came out later on. And I think of this one. This is from the original article that was written back in 78. And it's called mm-hmm. The Sandown Spaceman or Golfling's Ghost. So even at this point, it wasn't called The Sandown Clown. I think it was called that later on, mainly because of the description. And you're right, because of the tricks it did. Now, when we talk about hallucination, maybe it was somebody that was working there on site, came up, and the kids... what they saw, it's, you know, imagine when you're younger. I don't know if they say how old she was, the little girl.
I didn't really catch that. I thought they were like, you know,
and when I think about it, I think they're about,
maybe.
Yeah, that's what I think about when I see this. But, you know, like if you, an 8 or 9 year old, that, like, let's say you're 8 or 9 and the first time you saw, I don't know, you know, those guys that, those guys or ladies that, work for the SWAT that diffuse the bombs, you know, and like all that stuff that they have to wear, like the bomb squad people. You're like, if you were 8 and somebody was wearing that and walked up to you, and then, you know, you were to describe it later, you might describe somebody that looks like the, you know, like the Michelin Man, or something that looks totally different, you know, something really weird, because it's the first time you've seen something like that. You don't know what it is. You can remember bits and pieces, but you can't really, But you don't, you're describing it to the best of your knowledge as a child.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe it was somebody they saw working on this, somebody that was working on, in the water, you know, you had other people, maybe that's the reason why, while there were other people working on the post, they didn't pay much attention because they're like, oh yeah, that's just Billy who's been working underwater, you know, messing around with the kids, you know, or, you know, just talking, playing, you know, doing tricks for the kids. You know, that's why they don't pay much mind. And then the kids, when they go back to describe it, they describe it as something that's even more fantastic. You know what I mean?
Right.
I mean, that's just one theory.
I'm trying to look for like old pictures of like maybe like premortal, full body suits for like underwater exploration. Like, but
the scuba?
I don't think they're... Yeah, but I don't think there's anything like kind of like that. But
yeah, I mean, this took place in Lake Common in Sandown, right?
Correct.
And let's see here, Lake Common in Sandown. Well, I mean, I guess I could look at it later, but I mean, that's just a theory.
All colors. Yeah.
That's just a theory I'm putting out there. It's just because, again, this story is so weird. And I believe that the kids ran into somebody. I do. Because at this point, you know, if you get older, just, you know.
Somebody or something. Or
something,
a person. Okay. I would say they probably ran into someone. And I mean, there's odd people out there, but... just wondering, I'm wondering why, you know, if this was just someone just messing around with them, though, that's a thing. Mm-hmm. It's kind of odd that if that's the case, then it's very elaborate that they jumped out of the water.
Yeah.
With this.
And then there's, they have their home right there next door. And then for the hut to be gone, what was it, 2 weeks later?
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at Sandown, it looks like
and it was there, and they were saying it was there well beforehand, right? Like that they.
Well, no, this is the first time that they saw it, was when they were there.
Okay. So no one else could vouch for it, though. That's nope. The only other thing.
Hmm. And then if you look at pictures of what people have, the way they've drawn this character, I mean, it is creepy. It is a creepy. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. It looks like someone with. It's like a really sad attempt to like make something artful, like out mm-hmm. of like a math textbook. You know, it's just like division symbols, triangles, and yeah. Some of these Sam the Sandown ghost clown. Yeah, these are kind of odd.
So, yeah, I mean, to all the listeners out there, I'd like for you guys to, you know, give us your opinion. What was this? Was the Sandown clown, was it somebody playing a trick on the kids? Was it somebody that, you know, was it a worker there that ran into the kids and just, you know, decided to have some fun and the kids, you know, didn't know exactly what they were looking at? Was it an alien? Was it a ghost? Was it some interdimensional being? To the best of my knowledge, the children who saw this are now adults have never said that it didn't happen. They said that they saw what they saw. So yeah, I would like to get your guys' opinion. Tell us what you thought. You can always send us a tweet at Geekers Creepers, or you can email us at geekerscreeperscast@gmail.com. That's geekerscreeperscast@gmail.com. Any final thoughts about this one, Eddie?
No, this is something. I mean, I would like to take a few extra looks at it.
And sounds see good.
If someone else had some other input on this,
we can touch base on this one.
Yeah, if we find something else, I think that would be something that I would come back to. Yeah, but other than that, no. I think all the observations I've had, I've told you about here mm-hmm. for this guy. Mm-hmm.
So that's our final story of the week. Eddie, thank you so much for joining as usual.
And thank you.
I believe maybe next week we'll be joined by Eddie again and a gentleman known as Dave, correct?
Hopefully. He's definitely expressed a lot of interest. And then, hopefully we can go further in depth on a few other things that we've touched up in the past, and hopefully some new things too.
Wait, which is the one topic you wanted to get back to the?
At a certain point, the Villa Park, the old
Ovaltine
factory, but he potentially has a good story with regards to like the new Ovaltine. The condos now, so he has a story about that. So
all right, yeah, we'd like to hear that. If for any of our listeners, I think the first time Eddie joined our podcast, he told us about the Ovaltine and the Satanic Panic, the Satan worshiping things.
Yeah.
By the way, Ed, we are trendsetters. Do you remember when we first talked about that? The topic was about Satanic Panic of the 80s, right now, as of we talked about how, you know, Dungeons and Dragons, people were talking about how that was Satan worshipers. That's a major topic in this season of Stranger Things season 4. So they talk about it. I'm like, hey, we were talking about that before Stranger Things ever did.
That's right. Trailblazers.
Yes, we're the Trailblazers.
Retro Trailblazers.
Again, thank you so much for joining. I greatly appreciate it. You're always welcome. And to all our listeners, thank you so much for tuning in. Again, you can follow us on Twitter at Geekers Creepers. You can email us at geekerscreeperscast@gmail.com. If you're whatever you're listening to, if you can give us a like or give us a good review, that would be greatly appreciated. And guys, thank you again. And until next time, I do wish you all the best in life, love, and gaming.
Good night, everybody.